You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am Jeff Garcia, your host for today's episode and lead writer at the Spurs Zone, which you can find at News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Well, he's at it again, that being Captain Jack. And, of course, you heard by now, he had some choice words for Spurs Rudy Gay and Rudy Gay's comment that were glowing about San Antonio and pretty much set a lot of Spurs fans into a tizzy. And needless to say, there is no love lost between Spurs fans and Captain Jack. Also on the show, we'll be talking about the NBA releasing a sneak peek of the 2018-19 NBA schedule, particularly the opening week and MLK Day and Christmas Day games. And surprise, surprise, you'll not be waking up on Christmas Day to a Spurs game. We're going to talk about that and probably a lot more. And I'm going to be joined by, of course, the familiar, the legendary Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. And, of course, a colleague of mine over at News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio, Jim Lefko, the former sports editor at the Express News and current editor at large. Gentlemen, welcome to Locked On Spurs.
Well, thanks for having us, and welcome, Jeff and Jim.
Great to be with both of you. Thanks for having me.
Should we call this the Triple J episode of Jeff, Jim, and Joe?
I think so. I think it's fitting.
Works for me.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys. So you heard it. The shots, the words fired all over the NBA world at least yesterday. This is how you know it's the offseason, because we're going to be talking about Captain Jack. And basically, he had some choice words for Rudy Gay and the Spurs as guest for Undisputed on Fox Sports. Needless to say, in a nutshell, he called Rudy Gay a brown noser after Rudy Gay made some glowing comments about the Spurs to the Hartford Courant, you know, saying they do players well, look, he compared the situations in Toronto and then, you know, jetting DeMar DeRozan to San Antonio and how Kawhi Leonard now goes to Toronto. And pretty much, you know, he's saying he's welcoming his buddy DeMar DeRozan. And, you know, just Captain Jack was not having that. He called him a brown nose, as I mentioned. Said he's only looking out for himself and that the Spurs are simply covering up the mess that was Kawhi Leonard, and Rudy Gay is a part of it. Jim, your initial thoughts when you saw this, the video, and you read the transcript, I mean, what were your first reaction to this?
I think old Jack may have been drinking some of that, some Jack Daniels. I don't know where he was coming from. You know, I was in Indiana when he was up there, and he didn't leave that city on the greatest of terms. He got in a little trouble with the law, and, you know, he was fun to watch on the court. Off the court, I think he just needs to – people need to hit the mute button. But I guess folks think he's good copy because he says stuff. You know, he doesn't usually say the company line, so he gets attention for himself by saying radical things. And, the rest of us out there react to it. You know, he's entitled to his opinion. We're entitled to say that he's full of it. Rudy Gay's not brown nosing. He's talking about what he really thinks. And Jack is saying what he's saying to get attention for himself. And he probably wanted to get a rise out of Spurs fans, and he found a way to do it. This isn't the first time he's kind of shot his mouth off. Probably won't be the last. When the Kawhi Leonard trade went down, we did a little thing on News 4 San Antonio on the website to ask if Kawhi was among the most detested Spurs ever now. And we came up with three or four other guys, and I put Steven Jackson on there because of some of his previous comments. And people said, why would you put him on that list? And I said, well, you know, because a lot of people like the way he played, and, you know, fun teammate. You know, there are others who said they really enjoyed playing with him. But I just thought some of the things he said since he's left have been very inappropriate and unfair. And this is just more of the same. If we ran that poll again, I'll bet he may not be up there with Kawhi, but he might be a close second.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Jim, as you mentioned, this isn't the first time that Captain Jack has gone out the mouth. He's called out Tony Parker. He's called him a selfish player. But yet at the same time, he goes about the organization. He says the organization is great, that he's enamored with Coach Popovich. But then, you know, he does this. And, of course, he was very vocal about being on Team Kawhi and how the Spurs and other NBA organizations don't look out for players. So he's just all over the map. But, Joe, one thing that you're really good at is the pulse of the fan. I mean, I always say that I'm locked on when you're a guest here. You know, just, you know what the Spurs fans are thinking. And what were the Spurs fans' reaction to this, Joe?
Well, I think their first reaction was, lay off the weed. Two, you know, he just has a big mouth. You know, he's trying to stay relevant. You know, I think he's better off in, you know, playing for the big three and kind of just mouthing off out there instead of finding an outlet on national TV. You know, he's trying to make a name for himself, because let's not, you know, kid ourselves. Captain Jack is entertaining people with his outrageous statements. He says things like this because it's entertainment. That's what all these sports shows are about. They're about entertaining you. They're about, you know, saying things that are outrageous and really don't make any sense. And that's what he's doing. Because, at the end of the day, I think he's just, you know, he's pimping himself out there. He wants to get his own show. And he has to say things like that in order to get it. But here in San Antonio, people have always felt a certain way about him. You know, they respected him for a while after he left because he kind of laid low. He didn't say anything. But now that he talks a little bit more in the media, talks about the Spurs, the consensus here, the guy's just annoying. And now we can understand why he was cut from the San Antonio Spurs. It wasn't his ability or what he brought to the team on the court. The one thing that got Captain Jack in trouble is his mouth. He just can't seem to keep it shut, you know, and he keeps on saying things like this. And like you said, he's getting up there with Kawhi Leonard. I'd say right now, it's pretty much tied. You know, people just don't like him anymore. And I think they would pay just if he would just keep his mouth shut.
You're asking a lot for Steven Jackson to do that, Joe. I don't think he'll ever keep his mouth shut. But just to give you an idea of just how over the map he is, he has his own Instagram page. And if you go there, first of all, not safe for work, so just be warned right now. But he does talk a lot about his exploits as an ex-NBA player on the road. So very interesting, you know, how open and honest he is about the NBA life. And at the same time, you know, berating the NBA every chance he has. Jim, you know, you're the words like, he's just bitter, he's salty. Is there any truth to that? Do you really think that all this is just coming from a place of bitterness towards the Spurs, saltiness towards San Antonio, or as Joe said, it's just a matter of him just trying to be relevant?
Yeah, I think it's just an attention-getting device. When I hear him talk like this, you remember the comments Robert Horry made a while back, criticizing, I believe it was Duncan and Ginobili and Parker a little bit. They kind of came out of left field. And at the time, there was talk that he wanted to get some kind of national attention, maybe a show. So that's what these guys do. You know, if they're not on TNT and, they want to be there and they want to make that easy money, you know, like Shaq and Barkley and all those guys do, I guess this is their way to try to keep themselves in the spotlight. And, you know, more people have probably know who he is now because of some of these crazy comments than ever knew who he was on the court. You know, a name like Steven Jackson is kind of generic. And again, you know, we know the Spurs, I knew Indiana, so I knew him from there. But I'll bet half the people in America that aren't devoted NBA fans weren't really even sure who this guy was with a name like Jackson. And now here he is spouting his mouth off, and, you know, suddenly it's, oh, that's that guy. Oh, yeah, he used to play in the NBA, and he played for a few different teams, and pretty good player, played with a little bit of attitude. But I just don't think he's got a self-control on his mouth, and I think it's just to get attention for Steven Jackson.
Joe, you talked about him playing in the Big Three, and in his inaugural season with the Big Three, there's actually a videotape of him trying to get in a fight with Charles Oakley, simply because Charles Oakley was trying to coach him during a game. So, you know, I guess as they say, you can't teach old dogs new tricks, Joe. But I guess the best thing right now is simply this, Joe: is, hey, you know, prepare yourself. Captain Jack might strike again later down the road.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, as long as people keep giving him attention, he's going to keep, you know, doing these things. It's all a publicity stunt. And the sad part is, I don't think Captain Jack is smart enough to know that he's being used by the big networks over there, because they're only going to bring him on as a guest because it's good for ratings. Ratings at the end of the day is good for revenue. And that's what Captain Jack is doing. He's pumping more revenue into that network. and hopefully he's getting paid, because if not, he's just running his mouth for free, you know? So
yeah,
that's a bad move on his agent's part. So hopefully he's getting a paycheck out of this.
He probably is, and he's definitely getting, well, at least the company, in this case, Fox Sports, got their money worth today. So, yeah, so those were Captain Jack's reactions and his thoughts on the Kawhi and Rudy Gay, brown-nosing Rudy Gay. I don't know. Captain, just calm down a bit, and we'll just brace for the next time that you call out the Spurs and whoever you got on your targets. But we want to hear what you have to say about Captain Jack and Rudy Gay and the whole mess of drama that he stirred up recently. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. And of course, Jim Lefko. Simply that, just follow him on Twitter at Jim Lefko. And then of course, Joe Garcia at Two Shots Podcast. And those are our guests on this episode of Locked On Spurs.
Hey, I had something real quick. You know, what'd be interesting, guys. What if Steven Jackson asked Rudy Gay to come out as a guest? So they could kind of talk about these comments. I think that would be entertaining.
It would be fun. I don't think Rudy would. I don't know if that's smart on Rudy's part, because he didn't want to get down in the mud with Jack. I mean, Rudy doesn't need attention for what he says. Rudy's going to get attention for what he does. Jackson doesn't play in the NBA anymore, so he's in need of somebody like Rudy to come on and almost substantiate or refute his comments. And I don't know what Rudy gets out of it. So hopefully Rudy's smart enough to steer clear of that one.
Yeah, I think he would steer clear, but it would be interesting if he did come on and just, you know, use his NBA knowledge that he has right now in today's NBA era to just make him look like the fool that he is, you know. And I'm talking about Captain Jack, so that's all. I digress. We can move forward.
Yeah, we're doing exactly what maybe Jackson wanted us to do by talking about him. So I'm trying to cut this short as I can. So again, I am joined by Jim Lefko, the former sports editor at the Express News and current editor at large at News 4 San Antonio on Fox 29 San Antonio. And of course, as always, Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. But gentlemen, before we dive into the main event, let's take a quick pause and let's take a listen to what our sponsors have to say. Okay, and we're back, and now that Captain Jack talk is behind us, we're going to dive into the crux of this show, and that is the NBA and the tease that they gave fans regarding the 2018-19 NBA schedule. Let me just sum it up for you. No Spurs games. There's going to be no Spurs game televised in opening week. There's no Spurs games on Christmas Day, and there's not going to be any Spurs games on Martin Luther King Day this upcoming season. Jim, are you shocked or not really?
Well, two things. You said no Spurs games. One little caveat, right. No Spurs games on national TV.
Right, exactly.
Those games will be available in the local market. And that Spurs fans, you know, there's a debate whether you should watch when the Spurs are on national TV. Do you watch the local broadcast or do you watch the national broadcast? on TNT. And I started watching the national broadcast because I wanted to see what the national guys said. And usually they know so little that I end up quickly back on the local broadcast anyway. So really, you know, if there's an option and they're on local, I don't watch the national anyway. Not going to affect my viewing habits. Yeah, it's a slap in the face a little bit. You know, you want to think that the whole country wants to watch your team. I got to be honest, you know, without Kawhi, it's not the sexiest team nationally, with LaMarcus Aldridge as the bell cow and with DeMar DeRozan as the bell cow number two. You know, I think there'll be a curiosity factor at the start of the season. But I just don't think that that makes them as sexy as some of these other teams. And, you know, good TV is the big markets. It's the high-scoring teams. How much fun is it, unless you're a basketball purist, to watch a team hold another team to 85 points? Fans here love that. Fans in New York and L.A., not so much. So it's all about ratings. You know, yes, it means the Spurs aren't a marquee attraction for the NBA, at least this year. You know what? If they're 50 and 32 at the end of the season, we'll see him plenty on national TV in the postseason. So I'm not upset about it, and I'm not that surprised about it.
Yeah, you know, Jim, but the thing is the NBA, in my opinion, you know, may have whiffed on maybe setting up a Spurs at Toronto, at Raptors game or a Raptors at Spurs game. I mean, to me, that seemed like an obvious pick. Am I reading too much into that, Jim?
Well, I think the only team with less national attraction than San Antonio might be Toronto. And, you know, we in these two cities want to see that. You know, Kawhi has never been the national superstar that he's, you know, been locally for his talent. You know, the guy never speaks. He doesn't have a big Q factor. Dan Patrick said on his national broadcast not too long ago, he can't remember ever heard Kawhi speak in an interview. And, you know, Dan Patrick's paid to, you know, be in the sports media business.
I told this story before, Jim, so Joe, just bear with me. I was in Brooklyn the day he got drafted by the Pacers and then, of course, subsequently traded to San Antonio, and I happened to be there. And I was in the NBA, the conference room, the post-draft conference room, and that's when it was announced. And he's still wearing a Pacers hat. And, of course, I'm surrounded by Pacers media, Indiana local media, and you know, it just happened. I raised my hand. I go, so, you know, you just got traded to San Antonio. You know, what are your thoughts? And to me, in my opinion, that he shifted because he was very talkative to the Indiana press. But the moment he found out about San Antonio, you know, he kind of shut down. Maybe that was just him processing. Maybe he didn't wasn't aware of it. Fine, whatever. So he's done, and he gets off the stage, and he's walking out to do his media stops, you know, talk to, you know, who he has to talk to, ESPN and blah, 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 blah. And I go up to the NBA PR guy, and I said, hey, do you mind if I talk to him? And he goes, yeah, you can talk, just walk and talk, and, you know, you're fine. That was the most grueling two-minute walk I ever had with an NBA player, because I've been doing this. And at that moment, Jim, I knew that this was going to be an issue. He gave me one-worded answers. He gave me a lot of nonverbal stuff, like, you know, oh, so you got traded to San Antonio, what are your thoughts? You kind of just, you know, it's like that, you know? And very just, didn't want to make eye contact, nothing. And I walked out of that walk and talk thinking to myself, this is going to be an issue. And lo and behold, fast forward to today, and unless he has a total 180, you know, in Toronto, you know, this is pretty much par for the course since day one, in my opinion. And, you know, Jim, have you ever had a chance to talk to Kawhi?
Well, I've been at a few games as an editor. I was usually there more to see what the atmosphere was like for my reporters.
Yeah.
But I do remember his last, I think one of the final questions was, you know, do you expect to be back or do you expect to finish your career here? I guess that's what it was. And he made some answer like, yeah, sure. Or yeah, I think so. And, you know, that was an opportunity, yeah, I think, for him to be much more outspoken. Even for a guy who's not particularly, you know, eloquent or verbal, he could have delivered it with a little bit more pizzazz. And I think that turned people off at the time. But, hey, wait a minute. Here's this guy who's, you know, been on and off all season. He's, you know, put the franchise through the ringer. And he finally gets a chance to clear the air. And he just kind of gives an answer like that that's, you know, barely passable. So, you know, I tend to – I know fans want to read a lot into the things that you just said. And as it turned out, it was true. I still think the most important measure of a man isn't what he says, but what he does. And I got to admit, I love the way Kawhi Leonard played basketball. He was my favorite player on that team from a on-the-court perspective. I loved his game. If I could recreate myself in anybody's body, it would be him. He was a great hustler. I loved the way he played defense. He became an offensive star. He was all about the team. I loved all the on-court stuff about him, and I hated all the off-court stuff. And in a nutshell, you know, that to me is what it's about, and it's a shame it ended the way it ended. I'm not going to ever change my opinion about him as a player. I love watching him play, and I think he should have been Mr. Spur for the next 10 or 12 years, and he screwed up. And unfortunately, you know, we're all going to have to suffer a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. So, Joe, you know, you can come back. You can wake up now, Joe. you know, the schedule comes out. A lot of Spurs fans, or at least a good chunk of them, were in an uproar. But is there something positive to this? Is there a positive aspect of the Spurs not being on opening week slate of national TV games or Christmas or MLK Day?
Yeah, I think the consensus is here in San Antonio, and what the Spurs or the staff, the players, you know, everybody should use this as is fuel. Use it as motivation. You know, right now, the rest of the NBA is telling the Spurs, you're not good enough for primetime TV. You know, we don't think that your team is really going to be all that good this year, you know, by getting a snub. So what I think and what I hope is that the Spurs will use this as fuel, you know, as motivation to come out and just prove everybody wrong. You know, the Spurs, I think they play their best basketball when they fly under the radar, where everybody just, they were too old. Now it's going to be, they're too young. They're too inexperienced. You know, what are they really going to do? They're not even going to win 30 games, You know, some people in the media are saying they're not going to win 30 games. They won 47 games last season, and Kawhi Leonard only played 9 of them, you know, and he was basically playing them on one leg. So the Spurs still, you know, had a respectable showing against the Warriors in the playoffs. They didn't get swept. They won one game, and they played hard the rest of the games. Fortunately, they just didn't have enough firepower. But I hope that the Spurs use this as just motivation to go on a tear, to get angry, and just go out there and play really good Spurs basketball. It doesn't have to be flashy. It doesn't have to get the attention of the national media. They just got to put buckets up there. You know, keep dropping, you know, the ball in the bucket. Keep scoring. Just keep on getting wins any way you can. And just staying in the hunt. I think that's where the Spurs are going to excel this season. And I still think at the end of the day, they might not be a third or fourth seed, but they're going to be relevant in the playoffs again. And we'll see what happens. But I think it's a good thing for the Spurs to get a snub. Like I said, it's just one of those things that I think the team is just going to have to live with this season.
Yeah, let's face it, Jim. I'm pretty sure Pop, coaching staff, and the players are like, all right, that's fine with us if we're not playing on those days.
We have to get to stay home for Christmas, which is kind of nice. Although, if I remember correctly, didn't they play on the 26th last year?
And yeah, they did.
You know, in the NBA, you have to travel the night before. So, you know, they'll have to fly out. If they played on the 26th, they'd have to fly out on Christmas. So they wouldn't have their whole holiday at home. But, you know, don't discount that. You know, a lot of these guys are family men, and they like to be with their families. And, you know, the grind of the NBA season, you don't get a lot of time off. So if they get a couple days before and after Christmas, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. Good time to, you know, kind of refocus, see where you're at. And I'm not one that really subscribes to think that that's going to be motivation, that come Christmas they're going to say, oh, we're sitting home. We're used to playing every Christmas, and now for the second year we're not there. I think they'll see the positive in it and get as much time as they can with the families. And hopefully they're not in the middle of a long road trip where they couldn't come home. But I think the NBA likes to, you know, take care of their teams that way. And you know, there's lots of holidays that roll around during the, you know, during the NBA season. So this is one that they'll get to spend with their families. So good for them.
Yeah, good for them. Joe, I think you think the Spurs fans maybe overreacted in this situation.
No, I think the Spurs fans are just spoiled is what it is. It's, they're used to the Spurs being relevant, you know, year in and year out. They're going to be, you know, they're going to have a game on opening NBA opening week where they're going to play at least a decent team just, you know, to get some national media coverage. And unfortunately, I mean, it goes with the territory. They're losing one of their star players in Kawhi Leonard. It was kind of to be expected, you know, but I think what happens is that Spurs fans kind of are in this little bubble, you know, the bubble popped because Kawhi left. So now it's kind of like, you know, they got to get used to this kind of treatment. It's not going to be, you know, the Spurs are great again. The Spurs are this and that again. It's they're kind of going to have to, you know, kind of prove themselves again this year. And I think that's what Spurs fans are going to have to get accustomed to. I can already see the headlines, Jeff. And Jim, the league is going to say, oh, the Spurs are, they're back. They never left, you know, they never left. They just got a little bit younger and they're still relevant. It's just the way the league likes to, you know, kind of portray them and spin stories, and everything's for ratings nowadays. You know, that's why we see the same group of teams always getting the national media coverage. You're going to see, you know, was the Cleveland Cavaliers last season. Now it's going to be the Lakers. Now it's going to be the Warriors. It's going to be the Celtics, the Sixers. It's going to be all these other teams that people really are going to be looking at that are young and they're explosive and they're exciting. The Spurs aren't that. You know, they haven't really been that type of team since the beautiful game in the NBA Finals in 2014. But, you know, to us, they're still exciting to see, but that's just from a fan perspective, you know, and just support the team. Enjoy it. Enjoy the time and enjoy what's happening right now. So it's a different time, you know, for Spurs Nation right now.
Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right, Joe. And, you know, I'll go back to you, Jim. And, you know, just because the Spurs are not listed among the opening week TV slate of games nor Christmas and MLK does not mean there's a lot to look forward to as far as just the matchups. And we talked about it, you know, Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green, you know, DeMar DeRozan, Charlotte and Tony Parker. Just because the Spurs are not listed in this tease that the NBA gave us yesterday, does not mean there's anything to look forward to next season, Jim.
Right. I agree. Although, you know, one thing I guess, I think Joe, you mentioned that you know, about the excitement factor. And again, I'm going to watch all 82 Spurs games, A, because I work here, and B, because I enjoy it. But I don't know that I would say they're an exciting team if I was a neutral fan. Now, they're exciting to us because we know the backstories, and we know where they've come from, and we know how they built their team, and we've seen them win 5 championships and all the history. But if you're just Joe fan sitting in City X, I don't think if the Spurs come on that you're saying this is necessarily going to be exciting basketball any more so than any other team. It is to us, and I think that's the distinction. These guys that are sitting in New York and determining when the schedule is supposed to be played, and yeah, you've identified a few key games, but even Tony Parker coming back, you know, when he plays for Charlotte, again, huge for us nationally. I'm not sure that's even a ripple or the game the Spurs play in Charlotte. So what's beautiful about pro sports is they can mean so much in a certain market, and maybe nationally, who cares? You know, I didn't look at and see if the Knicks were on national TV in the first week of the season, and I don't care because I'm not a fan of the Knicks. But if you live in New York, that's the first thing you're looking at.
So, Joe, I guess my point is yeah, there's no Spurs games on, but hey, you know, like there's still some exciting basketball that Spurs fans should tune into.
Yeah, there always is, you know, going to be some exciting games that are like, you know, kind of like Jim and even yourself, Jeff, kind of pointed to that means something to us, that it's exciting for us to watch. But, you know, Jim hit it right on the head, I think, when he pointed out that the Spurs aren't necessarily this very exciting team to watch. You know, they're kind of like, you know, a team that's just lumbering through the NBA. You know, it's kind of like they're the workhorse. You know, they're just going to keep on producing and giving you the same thing day in and day out. You know, it's not going to be flashy basketball, but they're going to find ways to win. It's just, you know, it's they're not a team like the Lakers, or they're not a team like the Sixers or the Celtics or the Warriors, for example, you know. And to us, though, they're still exciting. And that's the thing, is that regardless of what anybody has to say about the Spurs, if you're a fan and you enjoy watching your team play, I mean, what else can you say other than just support the team, watch the games, and be happy that you can have the opportunity to see them on, you know, both, you know, the local TV networks here. I mean, I remember a time, because I'm so old, that we had to actually pay to watch games. You know, you had pay-per-view way back in the day. So every time I get to watch a Spurs game, you know, on a Fox Sports Southwest network, I'm excited, you know, because I remember it used to cost like $50 back in the day just to see the Spurs play against the Lakers. And that was just the regular season. So there's a lot of things for us Spurs fans to be excited about.
One more point, if I can jump in. What I think is beautiful about watching the Spurs is how they play great defense historically.
Yeah.
But that doesn't translate to excitement on a national level if that's not your team. And so I can appreciate that Madison Avenue doesn't think holding the team, you know, to a 42% shooting and 87 points is exciting. That is exciting to me. I like watching I liked watching Kawhi Leonard shut down James Harden. That was really exciting to me, and seeing if they can hold him to under 20 points. But again, nationally, they want the exact opposite. They want James Harden to score 40 and the final score to be 120 to 118 with the last second three to win the game. I just assume see a really good defensive game with great fundamental defense. But again, that's the Spurs culture. That's how they win championships. But that's not necessarily how you win ratings. So I think Spurs fans are sophisticated enough to understand your team plays great defense historically. You're going to keep the scoring down. That's great for you. You're going to win games, but it doesn't necessarily translate to the most compelling TV when you could counter with Golden State Houston, you know, the first one to 135 wins.
Yeah, it's true.
It's definitely, you know, shifting now. You know, obviously the Spurs, at least in the NBA's eyes, and maybe the execs in New York, didn't think, like Jim mentioned, they were sexy enough to get one of these slots. But nevertheless, there will be Spurs basketball, and that's all that matters in the end. And a chance to see, you know, DeMar DeRozan in his new uniform. Of course, Lonnie Walker, Willie won't get significant minutes in San Antonio, or be relegated to the Austin Spurs. And DeJounte Murray's continued development, as well as LaMarcus Aldridge being the beast that he is. So relax, Spurs fans. Okay. Just because they're not listed in that tease does not mean that there's some exciting basketball from your Spurs coming up shortly. And, of course, we want to hear what you have to say. What do you think about Captain Jack? We talked about on this episode. What do you think about the Spurs not being slated on the NBA opening week TV schedule, nor Christmas Day or MLK Day. You can email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at jeffgspurszone. And Jim is going to tell you all about how you can get a hold of him and talk Spurs basketball or NBA basketball with him.
Well, how about on Twitter at Jim Lefko?
Simple to the point, just like that. You see, just easy, served right up to you, listener. Joe, why don't you talk to us about Two Shots Podcast?
Yeah, you can find us and everything you need to know about Two Shots Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Two Shots, which is all spelled out, TWOSHOTS, at podcast. And you can also see us and see what we're doing on the World Wide Web at TwoShotsSA.com.
Jim and Joe are great follows. Please follow them on Twitter. They'll talk Spurs with you all day, and they're a must follow, in my opinion. So please give them a follow. But for Jim Lefko, Joe Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia, and we're going to put a lock on this, I guess we could say, the Triple J edition of Lockdown Spurs.